You're listening to the Podcast Network. Listen, learn, evolve.
Bob Walsh, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Cameron.
Welcome back to the show. Can't remember the what did we have? I think we had you on the productivity show quite a few months ago. But you're back on today because you have finally finished and published your book, Micro ISV from Vision to Reality, available in good Amazon bookstores everywhere,
and also available from A Press as an ebook.
Ooh, what format?
PDF. But the nice thing is that all the links work.
Okay. Don't have it as a .lit?
Pardon me?
Don't have it as a .lit Microsoft Reader file?
No, I don't think so. I think they're using straight PDFs now.
Okay. Cool, but all the links work. That's pretty cool. Excellent. Good for people with a tablet PC. So, tell us a little bit about the book. You were telling me before the show that this is designed for people who are thinking about taking an idea for a piece of software that they have at the back of their mind and figuring out how they build a business around it. Now, you've obviously got some personal experience with that. You've been running Safari Software for quite a few years, but you also did a lot of interviews with people that have started their own software-based businesses over the last few years. Want to tell us about some of the people you interviewed for the book?
Sure. What this book is about, it's basically all the business, marketing, legal, and technical support, customer relations stuff that you need to take an idea that you have for a product, turn it into a product, and be able to successfully sell it on the internet. There are two ways software gets done. One is you get some venture capital people to fund your enterprise, and a few million dollars later, if everything goes well, you've got yourself a software company. The other way is self-funding. You start with yourself and maybe a couple of your mates. You build a company, and if all goes well, you get to the same place, except that you own 100% of it. So what this book did is it goes through from the very start, which is, how do I get an idea for a good software product that will sell today, through the development cycle, which is very different when you're working by yourself versus you're in an IT department, through how do you do your beta tests, through how do you define your website that's going to sell this product and how do you make that really work, through what type of legal entity do you set up in the United States or in the UK or in Australia, through how do you get along with your customers once you start having them. In other words, how do you do good technical support when your programmer, the tech support person, the test person, and the chief bottle washer, through to what are the resources that are out there that will help you do this type of work, and then finishes up with 25 interviews with successful micro ISVs today. Some are just starting out. Some have graduated to being regular, full-on software companies. And these people were very helpful, very nice to share their opinions and their experience about what works and what doesn't work.
And who are some of those people? Give us some examples.
Well, let me run through some of the list here. Let's start with, basically, it was a mix of people in the U.S. and the U.K. We had Andy Bryce, who's the founder of Oryx Digital. They make a piece of software called Perfect Table Plan. If you're going to have a wedding and you want to keep the right in-laws with the right in-laws versus the wrong in-laws, this piece of software will help you organize the table settings. Now, that may sound like a product that, you know, there's maybe five people in the whole wide world that want it, but that's not the case anymore. we've got a billion people who use the internet on a daily basis as of December 2005. And that means pretty much any niche you can imagine, there are enough people out there to make a good market for a well-priced product that you can sell to them via the internet, and that they can find you because you're relevant to what their interest is. So we have Andy, we have Andrei Butov, who's a president of a company called Antir in Russia. We have Brian Plexio, who is the founder of CloudShack and MicroISV.com, and basically a long list of people. Some people you might recognize, like Ian Landsman, who's the president of Userscape, and Joel Spolsky, who's the president of Fog Creek Software. Most of these people you may not know, simply because they're out there selling their software or their web service, making money, and they're below the radar of the media when it comes to IT.
Did you happen to interview the guys from Plask, P-L-A-S-Q, a couple of Aussie boys?
No, I didn't. There are more than a few other people I'd like to have interviewed for this book, but the problem with the book is you have to kind of draw a line somewhere, otherwise you'll never finish it.
Yeah. No, but their story reminds me of what you're talking about, a couple of Melbourne boys who have wrote a product for the Mac called Comic Life, which is doing great guns, and you know, we catch up for a coffee every now and again, and you know, they're making really good money, self-funded. They sort of had some jobs and decided to write this piece of software, put it up on a website, got a bit of hype around it from the Mac community, and you know, a year later they're making big money, and you know, had no investment, and have just managed to bootstrap the whole thing. It's a great story.
Well, the thing is, what's happened is the internet makes this possible. ISV started out as independent software vendor, independent from Microsoft. In other words, somebody they hadn't bought or destroyed. Over the years, a guy by the name of Eric Sink, who runs a company called SourceGear, came up with a series of articles where he started talking about micro ISV, that 1 to 5 person self-funded company. But for real purposes of understanding what we're talking about here, we're talking micro internet software vendor, because it's the internet that makes all this possible.
Mm. So give us some tips out of the book, because I know a lot of guys who are running their own, you know, small software startup, and obviously this one of the challenges once you've written your product is to get people to know about it. Particularly if you don't have a big marketing budget, if you're self-funded and let's say you're still working your job or you've just quit your job, you've got, you know, 6 months' worth of income in the bank that you're going to be living on. What are some of the tips that you've got for people to get the word out there and promote this piece of software that they've got?
Well, for starters, we're talking about really an internet-based company talking to an internet-based market. And as things stand today, that means Google. You want to make sure that, first off, you're going to cover some of the basics on your website of just good, normal search engine optimization so that Google can find you and classify you correctly. Now, that stuff is out there in umpteen million websites to get right, but there are a couple of tools out there that can make it a little bit easier to use. One tool that I mentioned, let me just pull it up on my screen here. It's a product made by a micro ISV out of Germany. And give me one second, I'll track this down. It's called IBP8. Internet, I think it stands for... let's see if my memory can refresh myself. Internet Business.
Promoter.
There you go. This is an excellent tool for figuring out what sort of keywords and meta information you should have on your website. And it does it in a couple different ways. One of them is kind of sneaky, but it works. if you put in some of your competitors and take a look at what they're doing, this will give you back a ranked list of what keywords are working for them. By the way, competitors are a real good thing to have because they help define a market. And a micro ISV is a good thing to do when you have a better product for a defined market. But if you have a really revolutionary product, well, that's the time when you start thinking about the VCs as far as getting funding. So one tip I would start with is you want to build your website both for humans and for search engine bots. And that means on the search engine side, search engine optimization. On the human side, you want to make sure that you explain what the value of your software is up front. What's the value proposition? It's just like walking up to somebody and saying, okay, I've got you in my elevator for 20 seconds. I'm going to try and sell you something, and here it is. And you have to be able to get that message across from the very get-go. Another part of the process that a lot of micro ISVs have found works well are Google AdWords. Basically, about 2-to-1 to 3-to-1 dollars come back for every dollar you spend in Google AdWords. The more focused and the more defined your market, the better Google AdWords work. For instance, let's say you came out with a product for managing horses. Okay, small market, very well defined. That's the sort of thing that's going to show up on Google AdWords radar very, very well. And yet, you can still find ways of doing this very inexpensively. In fact, one of the things I came across as I was doing the research for this book is Google is more than happy to help you build a really good campaign if you simply ask them to do it. You can do that either at the beginning, if you've never used Google AdWords, with their Jumpstart program, where for $300 US, they will build the keywords and the ads and basically put together a fairly sophisticated campaign for you, and then turn around and hand you back $300 worth of advertising in Google AdWords. Uh-huh. So basically, you get it built for free. If you're already using AdWords, if you contact them through help, they will step in and help you rebuild your campaign to make it work right. And these are things that micro ISVs can really make use of.
So what are some of the best examples you've seen out there in the last year of micro ISVs that have launched and you think have done a really great job in terms of using the internet to promote, provide customer service, etc.?
I can give you a couple of good examples. One from a few years back was Joel Spolsey, who wrote the foreword for my book and is well known on the internet as Joel on Software. Fog Creek Software was a micro ISV before that term became popular. He and his partner were able to build a couple different products, and the one that really stuck and got traction and took off was Fogbugs. It took him a few versions to build it, but at this point, Joel's making, well, let's put it this way. Part of his sales are new sales, and he's doing something on the order of $150,000 U.S. revenue each month. He has six people working with him and his partner. That's one good example. There are all sorts of different niches here. You can find people who are one-person proprietorships, or solo traders, I think you'd call them there. And these people are making multiples of what they could make in IT without meetings, without bosses, without being told what to do. You also have a number of companies that have graduated from, shall we say, the ranks of being a micro ISV and now are much larger. Give you an example here. There's a company called Structured Solutions that a guy by the name of Andy Miller started. He's in Pennsylvania in the United States. And their shipper 1.1 is doing extremely well. They're basically making at this point, $2,500 on that one product alone each month. And they're working that up, and they expect to see that to about $10,000 within the next 2-3 months because of prior commitments they have. Basically, the misconception that a lot of programmers have right now is that if they do their own product, they're basically doomed to starve to death as they wait for sales to come in. But the reality is, if they just try and hit the bases they need to, as far as marketing, and as far as picking the right topic for that project, and as far as the quality that they have in the project, they're going to be very successful.
So let's talk about getting investors, because I know when I started the podcast network, I had no experience whatsoever in talking to venture capitalists or, you know, seeking investment, dealing with angels. I had no background or experience in that whatsoever, and it can be pretty daunting, particularly if you are, you know, working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, trying to, you know, do the basic operational side of your business to figure out how you navigate the waters of, you know, venture capital. What are some of the tips that you've got for people going into that?
I have to confess, this book really does not get into the venture capital side of it at all. I don't have that much experience with it, and the venture capital world is something of a closed box to a lot of programmers who don't have the type of connections you need. But I will tell you that I interviewed one person that might surprise you as far as being an expert with startups and venture capital. His name is Don Dodge, and he's the guy who basically holds the checkbook for Microsoft in terms of buying micro ISVs and other startups. He's part of a group called the Emerging Business Group out of Microsoft. It's based in Boston, Massachusetts, in the United States. And what he's telling me, and you can read about this in the interview if you like, is that basically Microsoft is now more in the business of, one, finding companies even before they go to venture capital, and two, helping put those micro ISV companies together with venture capitalists. They find that it's a good way to sort of fill in the niches that are too small for Microsoft to really care about. Again, when you're a large company like Microsoft, you have to sell millions of units just to start making any dent in terms of a profit. Micro ISVs, our overhead is magnitudes below that of an established software company, which basically means that most of the money that you'll see as income turns into pre-tax profit. So I wish I could be of more help as far as VCs, but this is the alternative to VCs. This is the question. This is the book for people who want to start their own software company, and through whatever reasons they may have, whether they don't like the idea of forming a big company or they haven't gone the VC route ever before, they're going to go out and self-fund it. They may have a few angel investors or family, friends, what have you, but we're talking, thankfully, that between the internet and the reduced cost of just about everything programming, we don't need a whole lot of money to get going on a software company these days.
Yeah, I recently reread Guy Kawasaki's classic book, The Art of the Start, and mm-hmm. a couple of the points that he makes for entrepreneurs in there is to get started, like do something, build a proof of concept, build a pilot, get your idea out there, get people thinking about it, talking about it, and just get up and running, which you can obviously do with very little money these days in a lot of cases. Is that something that you found has been a tried and tested method with these micro ISVs, just getting their product out there?
Absolutely. That's a real key thing, is just you have to build some momentum. And when you're a micro ISV, you're not necessarily going to get a lot of feedback and support from the other people in your company because there aren't any other people in your company. So what you want to do is you want to get to that first version 1.0 as quickly as possible, but you want to define what your product is going to be about. You want to get to the deeper answers to the problem that you're trying to solve. A lot of programmers sort of make the mistake of either writing software for more programmers or writing very technical pieces of software, for instance, RSS readers. These aren't the sort of things that are going to work that well in today's market. I mean, there are 2,000 RSS readers out there as of right now. It's arguable whether you need a second 2,000 and first one. But you need to get the first cut of your product out there. And one thing that I recommend is that you do a public beta once you've got a beta that's worth using. Once you've got a stable beta, it may not be as feature complete as you want, but it's stable. One other thing to do is you need to blog about that beta. You need to be talking about it and acting like a person rather than a company. Blogs work great for that sort of thing. So do podcasts. And there's no reason you shouldn't use your natural voice and natural sort of identity as who you are. And I've got this idea, and this is the software I'm doing. I'd like to find out what people think, because that's how you start getting conversations. And even if you use some of the development techniques I mentioned in this book, for instance, VMware and the use of virtual PCs, the more people who are testing your software, the better. And that means beta testers, and that means doing a public beta.
So obviously, you see blogs and podcasts as being a key mechanism for building awareness and promoting the tool. Would you also suggest that people trying to launch their product get out and interact with blogs that are topical to their software product?
Absolutely. The thing about micro ISVs is that one or a few people can project a presence on the internet that's just as interesting, just as informed, just as passionate as the largest possible company you can think of. That means you want to be looking at what people are doing in your sort of problem domain, whatever that may be. You want to be talking to them on their blogs. You want to be blogging about what they're saying. You want to bounce ideas off them and see what sort of things they suggest that you want. It is a fact of sort of micro ISV life that until you have some real good beta testers, and really until you start having customers, you're not going to know which features may be the ones that you thought were so ultra cool that you had to do them, but the market doesn't care about them, and which features the market really cares about, and they want to see that, and if you can get those right, well, the cash register is going to start ringing. Speaking of micro ISVs, the people who started Six Apart, who makes movable type and TypePad, Mina and Ben were a micro ISV based in San Francisco, working out of their bedroom. And they got venture funding, but it wasn't until they were up and running and had revenue to show and were in a position to say to the venture capitalists, well, we can pick and choose, did that end up happening? When I interviewed Mina for this book, she had some good advice for micro ISVs when it came time to blog. Give me a second, because I want to try and quote her correctly, as I do in the book here. Let's find it here. Here we go. Just one sec. Let me grab this. Let me try and give you a quick quote from this much longer interview that I did with her. And also, understand that your blog is a reflection on your company and that your personal voice is really important. And it's good to show there are people behind the company and that there's a personality. I write with a personality that may not be corporate, but it's me. but make sure you don't blur the lines and write about something completely random that has nothing to do with the company and that will not bring the company any sort of benefit. Save those sort of posts for a private blog. And this actually was a 1, 2, 3, 4 on to 5-page interview with her about how things went from being a micro ISV to a big company and what sort of things to consider sort of along that road as far as blogging. There are interviews in there with David Allen of Getting Things Done fame about how to get things done as a micro ISV. That's one of the biggest challenges is a company, you find you have about 2.5 times the workload of any sane person. But there are ways of dealing with that. And David Allen spells out in general terms in his seminars and his books about how to do that. And I was fortunate enough to get a good interview with him when he talks about some of the specifics that people have to deal with as a micro ISV.
Well, I think I need to get the book just to read that bit. I've had we've had Dave on the show a few times, and he's always well worth the time to read and listen to anything he has to say. And I can relate to that experience right now. I seem to be working 40-hour days just to get through all the stuff, man. Well, thanks for coming on the show, Bob. Now, people can get the book, we said at the beginning, from both your publisher and from Amazon. Got any good, easy-to-remember links you can point them to?
I've got a couple for you. One is there's a companion website for the book where you'll find some of the book's Excel templates, and you'll find posts by myself and other micro ISV people, and some other micro ISV resources that will be coming down the road there. Its URL is mymicroisv.com, all one word. You'll find me hanging out at my blog, which is todoorelse.com. And I think those two are the best ones to go to, along with if you want to get the ebook version and save yourself, you know, some dead tree time here, then apress.com, and then just follow the links there for the book, which they're featuring, or for the ebook, which is on their online store.
Excellent. Well, thanks very much for coming on and telling us a bit about the book, Bob. I look forward to getting a copy myself. I might go the ebook copy. I don't believe in dead trees if we can avoid them. And, yeah, we'll have to have you on again at some stage in the future.
My pleasure, Cameron.
This is what, the second? We'll have to get you back for a third time.
Well, hopefully when I get the next version of my micro ISV product out, we can have a talk about that. Actually, we may end up having a talk about my next book, which I've also signed already with A-Press. It's on our favorite topic, blogging.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, okay, well, we'll have to have you on to chat about that. When's that due to be published?
Well, the thing about books is they take a while. I think that will be out this year, but it's going to be probably third quarter or early fourth quarter before that sees the light of day.
Must be the year for blogging books. I think Shellen Scoble's book, Naked Conversations, came out last week, as did Jeremy Wright's book. I can't remember what Jeremy's book's called, but that's just come out as well. So it's great to see all these books coming out on blogging. Hopefully it'll lead to a lot more blogging out there.
Well, that's kind of the focus of my book. The couple other books that are out there that you mentioned do an excellent job of talking about how businesses should blog, but we're still all the early adopters here. You know, there's 24 million blogs out there, and what about the rest of the world and what's in it for them?
Yep.
So that's kind of the focus of that next book I'm doing for A-Press.
Yep. Good stuff, man. Well, thanks for coming on, Bob. We'll have to have you on for one of those.
My pleasure.
Or all of those. Have a good day, mate.
You too.
This week on The Geeks of Hazzard, Kevin makes a funny noise. All that and more on this week's episode of The Geeks of Hazzard.
Find us at geeksofhazzard.thepodcastnetwork.com.
power can't be given.
It must be taken.